Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at WaveBreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wave Break podcast. I'm Dylan Kelly, founder of Wave Break. If you are new here, I help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. If one of our clients didn't hire us last year, they would have missed out on over $1 million in revenue, and that's what you're leaving on the table. Don't wait around. If you want to learn more about working with me and see and have me go over that case study with you on a phone call, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. The link is down in the show notes below. Now, every week on this show, I get to interview the people behind the top e-commerce stores, and I get them to share their secrets. And if you're enjoying this podcast, subscribe on iTunes to make sure you never miss an episode. Speaking of an episode, it's a good thing you're listening to this one because it is a good one. Today's topic is three crazy content strategies for doubling your organic sales. So basically, content marketing is one of the highest converting marketing channels in e-commerce. And today on the show, I'm joined by my friend, Chris Chastain. He's the CEO of Silicone Depot, and he's the co-founder of a company called Content Cucumber. And basically, what he's doing is he's peeling back the exact content strategy that he used to double his organic traffic sales, as well as two other bonus strategies. And one of them is not the typical content strategy that you are probably thinking of. So without further ado, let's hop right into this episode. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So yeah, I'm super pumped to have you on the show because you have an awesome story. Two really cool businesses that I'm really excited to dive into. But first things first, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of explain what Silicone Depot is?
Yeah. So I guess to start with, my story, I really come from a musical background, and I always thought I was going to be a pianist. I thought I was going to tour the world playing music and being a pianist and doing things like that. And the family business kind of interrupted that plan, and I didn't think I was going to get involved in the family business, but then I did. And I helped get Silicone Depot off the ground. It was kind of a pet project at first that was going on, and when I came in, I really latched on to that because I thought that e-commerce would play a big role in the future of Hi-Tech, which is the parent company. So that's really where I came into the picture.
Nice. And so what do you guys sell at Silicone Depot?
We sell silicone sealants and adhesives.
Gotcha. So you're like the online Amazon for silicone sealants and adhesives. Awesome. Yep. I love it. And so you were running that business before, and now you're also running a company called Content Cucumber. Like, what made you start a second business?
Well, so at Silicone Depot, I was using a company called Design Pickle, and they made our designs very easy for us to get all the designs we needed and to be able to have those assets and distribute them on whatever social media we were using. And I really liked the idea of being able to just have a monthly subscription and get designs whenever I needed it rather than paying for a designer.
Right. If you guys don't know how Design Pickle works, if you haven't heard of it, it's designpickle.com. And basically what you do is you subscribe to it and you get unlimited access to like your own personal graphic designer for like, what is it, $370 a month. or something like that. And it's just like, as fast as you request and as fast as they do it, like, you basically get unlimited designs. And it's just like crazy, crazy cool concept. Okay, so you're using this in your business. All right, so yeah, so keep going.
Yeah, so basically I said, well, shoot, you know, I really wish someone would make a design pickle of blogs. And I was like, I really want that product. And I looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find anything like that. So one of my friends who was actually went to college with me, we were in a comedy duo together. We had all sorts of hijinks as musicians and comedians together. He was living in Argentina at the time, working remotely for an agency, and he was their basically their head copywriter and blog writer. So he was doing a lot of their work. So he's an excellent writer. I was having him do some one-off projects for us, and I started filling his mind with this idea of like the design pickle of blogs, and that's literally what we called it. So he finally came back to the U.S. The beginning of last year. We met, we had brunch together, and I said, okay, well, what would it look like to start this design pickle of blogs? And you know, we kind of gave it a pet project name. We called it Content Cucumber. And we're like, you know, that we'll change it later. We're just going to, that is a placeholder name. We'll build a website. We'll just call it Content Cucumber. It's, you know, it's fun and whatever. And well, obviously we've gotten clients on that name, so we're not switching the name. So we're Content Cucumber it is. So we made it a reality because it was something that I was looking for.
Nice. That's awesome. And so basically what Content Cucumber is, like, you subscribe just like to Design Pickle, but you subscribe to the service and then you get access to like unlimited content writing. So like blog posts, emails, like how the heck do you offer unlimited content to people for what's the monthly fee?
So for us, it's $490 a month.
For unlimited content.
Yeah, so there is a caveat, you know, there's a limit to how many words we can write in a day, but you can queue as many requests as you want. There's no cap to how many requests you can put in the jar, and we can process as many requests as we can get through every day.
Nice. And so you started, and then, so you created this service, and so you created it for your own business. Did you end up using it in your own business then?
Oh, yeah, we were the first customer. We were really the alpha tester. And when we first started, we said, okay, well, you know, and I think it was March or something. Okay, we're going to try this with Silicon Depot. And by the end of the year, we're going to get 10 clients is what we wanted. Well, we had that within 30 days. So it was like, okay, yeah, this is going to work. But anyway, so when we used it for Silicon Depot, what we did was I started using it just like I did Design Pickle. I was just asking for blogs, requesting things as I would designs, but for blogs. So it was exactly what I was looking for. And I was getting these blogs back, posting them on my website, and I was starting to get increased traffic. Organic was my highest converting type of
channel.
Yeah, channel. And so basically we took the highest converting channel and we made it have more traffic. Since it had good conversion, we just upped the traffic by having more blogs written. And it worked perfectly. We got on the first page of Google for all of our major keywords. We also, some of the blogs were featured on Huffington Post. We got one featured on a wiki article for silicone sealants, and there's a couple other places we got featured, and that's all in a span of less than a year. I mean, that happened within like 9 months.
Nice. And they picked you up because like they were doing research on the topic, and then they were like digging into it, and then they like used you as the source then?
Exactly. Yep.
Man, that's awesome. And so like you said, like, so like what kind of like, so you said you started increasing your organic traffic, which was your highest converting channel, like any like monetary result you can share with us, like, or maybe just a percentage of growth that you saw?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to look at the exact year metrics and break that down, but I do know that I would say went from maybe 10% of our sales to over 20% of our sales.
Wow.
And we had a 50% revenue increase last year over the year before. So it was a pretty significant.
Wow. That's a big jump. I mean, you doubled your organic, conversions and traffic and sales. That's awesome. And so from that, like, okay, so you're using this content, you're pumping out a lot more content. Like, what was your actual strategy behind that? Like, how often did you pump out content? Like, what types of articles are you writing?
Yeah, at first I was just excited. So I was publishing a blog every day because you can do that. You can get a 400 word blog every single day if you want.
Oh, wow.
And the longer the blog, the longer it takes, but you know, you can get up to 400 words per business day. So I was just using the heck out of it and just really pushing it. and blogging daily. And I had all sorts of keyword strategies and all that. And as time went on, I kind of passed it to a marketing intern and let him take over the creative ideation of what to write. And we kind of just do industry updates and just stay in the conversation.
That's cool. How did you put together that first initial list of keywords? Was there anything specific you were looking for? Any tools that you use? Like, how did you decide, like, this is kind of what I want to target?
Yeah, so I use SEMrush, SEMrush. They're awesome. Highly recommend checking them out. And I basically went through and I saw all of my competitors' traffic, my traffic, how we were ranking on everything. I saw the highest, you know, not only the highest traffic keywords, but also the highest competitive ones. And I was like, okay, well, let's just go after these and try and work these down. And we are on the first page for the most competitive, highest traffic keyword in our industry.
Wow. That's crazy. That's awesome. And all because of content. And so, like, how do you turn, so you write these posts and you took the keywords and you had the posts written for them. Like, how often were you pumping out this content? Like, in the beginning, you said like every single day. Like, do you have a specific strategy, or were you just trying to like crank through as much as you could at first?
Yeah, at first I was excited about it, so I was getting as much as possible. But I'd say as a strategy, you really need to figure out what your keyword is, and depending on how competitive it is, you'll know A, how much content you need to write, B, how well it needs to be written, and C, how long the articles need to be. So we find for our industry about 800 words is good, and so that's what we ended up doing. So a couple blogs a week as opposed to one every day.
Gotcha. And like, with that, like, how do you, like, is there any low hanging fruit, like in general, that like, let's say I run an e-commerce store and like, I don't have any content at all. Like, what is some low hanging fruit that I could just get started with today?
Well, first you need to understand who your target audience is. And once you know what they want to talk about, read about, and join a conversation about, you basically just say, okay, well, this is their target audience and this is what they want to read about. This is what they're going to look for. And then just start writing about that.
Gotcha. Do you just write about, like, so for example, you sell like sealants and adhesives. Are you just writing how-to articles about how to use these products, or do you just write about the industry in general? What does that look like?
So in the beginning, it was all informative because we get a bunch of calls like, what is RTV? I said, well, that's a great article. So let's, you know, what is RTV? It stands for room temperature vulcanizing. All these industry terms that really we use all the time and people take for granted, and they don't know what it means. So we were just like, okay, well, let's clarify all the things in our industry that people don't really know what they mean. And that's where we started. And then we went into the, you know, tips and tricks for weatherizing your roof or, you know, whatever it is.
Gotcha.
But it was just starting with industry terms and trying to break down those barriers.
I love that. I love the idea of looking at it like, okay, so what are people's objections? What do people not understand? And then using the content to combat that, to combat those objections.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. And what's cool about this content is not only do you have this content on your website and people are going to search for like, you know, what is this? And then find your article and read it. And you're in the position as the thought leader there. But also you can use that same content, to address objections. Like for me, like I'm an email marketer. You know, use that same content to address the objections in emails without having to say bye, 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 bye. It's like, hey, here's a helpful article on X to the people who haven't bought yet or something. So that's really cool. I really like that idea. That's something I do with my emails. So it's cool to hear that it works in content too. I'm not surprised. So like, what's your strategy for turning like these blog posts and this content directly into revenue? Like, do you like insert products into the posts? Do you like go for a super hard sell at the bottom? Are you throwing in coupon codes, or like, what does that look like?
So we don't do any of that. I'm of the opinion that I want to be as helpful as possible, and I want someone to read this and think, okay, these guys know what they're talking about and they really care about like us as a reader. And they sense that, and then they'll, if they need what we're selling, they'll buy it.
I dig that. The whole value first thing. I think it's easy to get caught up in the sale and asking for the sale and always going for the sale. But like, you'd be surprised, like use this content and like some products too. Like I was talking to somebody the other day who they have a pretty advanced product that they need to do a little bit more education to get people to buy. And one great way to do that is with content and to just give value first. So many people nowadays, I think, and this isn't to say it's wrong to just, you know, send your Facebook ad to go to for the conversion right away. I mean, if that converts and it works, go for it. But like, there's so many people who, you think about the different stages of buyer awareness, who like, they might need your products, they might need what you have, but like they don't even know yet. They're not even aware. Some of them are aware they have a problem, but they don't know you're the solution. Some people have, they know what the solution is, but they don't know you exist. And it sounds like content can help with all those.
Yeah, that's true. And again, it depends on what exactly you're doing and why you're writing your blog.
Right.
And so there are some blogs where, if we're talking about a specific application, we may point to a particular product because it's like, well, we're talking about this very specific thing that you're going to do, and this is the best product to use for that. But for like talking
about...
You're
not forcing it, though.
Right. Yeah. It's more just informative. I mean, the three kind of why pillars, as we call them at Content Cucumber, is to inform, entertain, and inspire. And so that really, you know, strikes home with me personally. So it carries out into the Silicon Depot blog too. I like to inform people, entertain people, inspire people. And that's where I come from.
That's awesome. Speaking of that, like, so on the Content Cucumber side, like, obviously you guys have a lot of different clients across different industries. You don't have to share anybody's like super top secret tips, but like, is there anything cool that you see people using Content Cucumber, like, to create certain types of content that you just think is really interesting or really cool, or just like killing it from a sales standpoint or something like that?
Well, those are kind of two different questions, and I'll take them as that, I think. So the first that stands out, since we're on a podcast, I actually have some people that will send us podcast transcripts and we'll make blogs out of that. And so that's really intriguing. And I think that's an interesting thing, especially because a lot of people can talk all day about their brand. They can talk all day about their products, but when they get in front of a computer, they just freeze up and they can't write at all. So it really allows people to be able to talk about their product and then have a transcription and then we can write blogs for them.
Oh, wow. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's one area. The other is, we find with e-commerce companies that use, and there's one in particular that really was successful, when they use an SEO strategy for redoing their product descriptions. And they look at their product descriptions almost as part of the customer journey. Like, the customer is here, they're going to read a story about this product. And those are the people, and one in particular really had an awesome idea. They basically wrote like poems. They wanted us to write poems for each one of the products. So like, the customer journey and reading about these product descriptions was just absolutely on the spot. And their sales increased because of it, their SEO increased because of it. And, you know, we saw that and we went, wow, you guys, you're really smart. That's a really good idea. So feel free to use that idea.
Wow, man, that just blew my mind. Like, I don't even run an e-commerce store. I'm just a marketer who helps people with their email. But that's such a good idea. Like, that just seems brilliant. Like, you have that product description space. Like, instead of filling it with something useless, like, oh, this product is 2 feet by 2 inches. It weighs 20 ounces. Like, you can actually put that product description to work. And one of the most popular episodes on this podcast is actually about how to write captivating product descriptions. But actually, it sounds like you don't even have to write those yourself if you don't want to. That's a really interesting strategy too. So like, with that, like, do you think those people are... Like, do you think it's possible to rank your product page for some of these like higher level keywords then? Like, for example, like something more long tail with a longer product description like that?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, a really good product description that's interesting and gets people to talk about it. I mean, when's the last time you heard someone actually talking about a product description?
I can't even remember the last time I read one, besides to figure out like the exact size.
Yeah, so if you make it interesting enough and you're reading this, you're like, wow, that's, you know, this actually is an enjoyable, like, it's enjoyable to read this. It's really nicely written. It's an enjoyable experience for the customer to read something that's more intriguing. And not only that, so they're actually reading it, they're actually sharing it and talking about it. And so that whole thing creates like the backlinks, and it also makes it more interesting to the Google bot, because the Google bot's looking through and instead of just like you said, like, this piece of jewelry is 18 inches in circumference and at the bottom is a pendant that measures 2.5 centimeters. And it's like, okay, well, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But instead it's like, you know, this, I wish I had one pulled up, and maybe sometime we'll, I don't want to give you an example without having pulled up, because they're a lot better written than I would just start spouting it out. But it's really poetic the way they're written, and they go through with this kind of seamless flow and either tell a story about the actual jewelry or tell a story of where that piece might be. And that, to me, is really an interesting perspective.
Yeah, that is that yeah, I really love that idea. And like, as a marketer and business owner, like, that'll give you a step up. Also, like, when you go to create your Facebook ads or you go to write your email copy or something, like, now you don't have to start with like, oh, well, crap, now I have to start from scratch because the only product description I have is the circumference of the necklace. Instead, you can go through and it's like, okay, we have this awesome story. Like, how can we build on that? Or how can we communicate that in our ads? And then overall, like, now you're not just selling a commodity product, which really, like, the majority of retailers online nowadays, I mean, you're just a reseller. You're reselling a product. Like, chances are, like, the majority of retailers do not have, like, a 100% original product that they 100% own the manufacturing over, like, depending on, like, you know, your setup with your supplier and that sort of thing. But you can really stand out with the solid product description, with a solid brand, and a solid product description, like, adds to that. And it's so true. Like, I remember, like, they're so rare too. Like, that's such a low-hanging fruit. Like, you think of product descriptions,
yeah.
Like, man, the good ones, like, you always, like, I mean, I'm obviously a little bit different because I notice this stuff because I'm looking for it, because I live and breathe e-commerce. I'm a marketer. But yeah. Like, I do notice the difference when it's a well, like, if I could go back and look at all the products I've bought, like, direct to consumer, the ones that I buy are the ones with, like, I mean, if it's not a long, like, not a long product description, but, like, if it's not a written product description that's intriguing and interesting, like, there's a video of some sort, like, there's something more than just the basics. So one last follow-up question on that, like, what kind of length product descriptions do you see? Like, is it, like, the 400 words, the 200 words? Like, are there people writing, like, 1,200-word pieces? Or, like, what does that look like?
For product descriptions, no. Usually product descriptions, you know, they're anywhere from 70 words to 150 words. They're usually pretty short, because you don't need to tell a blog. And you can always write a blog about a product and link to the product, and the product description can be an abridged version. And another thing I want to tag on to what you were saying there, because I was actually hearing this today and someone made a really good point, and they said, you know, Tide, when you go to buy Tide or like laundry detergent, they don't sell it by making it intriguing for you to own laundry detergent. There's nothing interesting about owning laundry detergent. That's not appealing at all. But smelling nice and being clean and like the fresh breeze and like the outcome is what you want. You're buying the outcome. You're not buying laundry detergent. You don't care about owning that. You care about the outcome. How does it make you feel? How does it make you smell in this case? How does it make you look? So that's something to consider when you're writing your product descriptions or blogs even. Like, think of the outcome. Don't think about the actual thing itself. Think about the thing that the person's going to do with it.
Totally. Yeah, that's genius. I know. I read the same thing today. I wonder if we read the same thing. Yeah, and I love the Tide example too, because like, Tide isn't even the cheapest laundry detergent. Like, there's so many other cheaper laundry detergents. I mean, Tide, like, they're not a sponsor of the podcast, but like, they're my favorite smelling right now. but like, they're not the cheapest, and they still kill it. They still kill it. And it's like, yeah, it all comes down to that. Also, it smells really good, so I'm sure that helps.
Yeah, they're selling an outcome though. Again, they're not selling the product. They're selling the outcome.
We have the best liquid formula in the world for cleaning your underwear, Chris.
Yeah, I think people care less about that and like, you know, your underwear smelling nice.
Right. Exactly. Awesome. Well, anyway, as we begin to wrap up here, like, so you have a lot of experience hiring writers. So I was wondering, like, what are your, like, how do you, you don't have to reveal too many of your secrets, but if you could just give us some tips, like, how do I find a solid writer? Like, what are some things you look for?
Yeah, so you want to find someone who's good at research and good at understanding something they know nothing about. So the best writers are those who can write about anything. The best writer that we ever hired are the people that, you know, we say, do you know something about this? And they say, no, I've never heard about that. Okay, great. That's even better. I want you to write about it. Because then you really get to see how good of a researcher they are and how quickly they learn something and how well they can articulate an idea that they just learned. And so that's really the key to having a good writer, in my opinion.
Got it. And so I shouldn't be afraid, like, if I have a totally random product. I mean, you sell sealants and, like, random things, like, Like, what are the odds a writer knows about that stuff? Probably pretty low.
Right. And that's why we hire people who are really good at figuring it out. And, you know, we were one of the toughest clients because it's such a weird space. And then we had a lot of other e-commerce stores buying from us and, you know, using our services for writing their blogs and product descriptions. And it was a lot easier for writers to write about, you know, jewelry or consumer products because they understand it. But silicone sealant's not something they use. So they really had to dial that in. So that was a good, you know, barrier to entry test to see if they could write about that, then they could write about anything. And now we have customers that are way more challenging, like in a POE lighting space and in the CNC machining space. You know, we have the cryptocurrency. I mean, we have people that are way more technical and difficult now, and we're able to hold our own.
Wow, that's awesome. And so you do that by finding people who are really good at research. So as we wrap up here, like, if somebody wants to level up their content game, they want to hire a writer, but, you know, I mean, come on. We run businesses. We don't have time to track somebody down. What should they do next? Where can we go to learn more about what you do?
Yeah, so if you're looking to get your blogs written by someone else, like Content Cucumber, the best thing to do would be to go to contentcucumber.com/wavebreak.
We get a custom URL. I like this.
Oh yeah. So the first 5 people that get a request on that page, you can use the coupon code wavebreak19 and you will get it for free. So they're normally $39 for a one-off sample. The first 5 people onto the sample page there will get it for free using that coupon.
Okay, so you guys heard Chris. He just gave an awesome offer. So typically they're free, or excuse me, typically their samples are, what are they, almost $40?
$39.
$39. They're $39 normally, and he's giving the first 5 people them for free. And all you got to do is, what's the website? contentcucumber.com/wavebreak.
Yep.
And use code wavebreak19.
Yep.
But it's only going to work for the first 5 people.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Okay, so guys, if you connected with what we were saying and you want to level up your content strategy and your content marketing game in 2019, take advantage of that offer. Like, really, I mean, a free sample, that's awesome. Like, you get to see if the service works and you have nothing to lose. So, like, seriously, what do you have to lose? So go do that. Now, as we close out the show, Chris, I just want to say thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all those different secrets, like everything from the product descriptions to your story of using your own company to grow your own business. That was awesome, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Awesome. And links to everything that we talked about are going to be linked up down in the show notes below. And that about wraps it up. Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. and I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible, and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.